Chof Ha'er, 10th of May, Rabbi Dr. Sholem Springer, Hachona L'Shavuos.
Good morning to you all.
Morning.
I think I'm led in very nicely from what Rabbi Yonke just said about the 14th. I'd like to start on the first day of the Omer. And although it sort of seems to be peddling backwards, since we're looking forward just a week and a half away from Shavuos itself, which we will get to, both in the Shia and in time. But I'd like to say something that Rav Hirsch says at the beginning of the process, which I think is well worth hearing. And it's like this, that in Emor and Nasi Sedra, we had two mitzvahs among many, many others, of course the list of Yom Tovim, but there are two mitzvahs which start off the whole process that we are in at the moment. And one is the Korban Ha'omer, and the other one, different mitzvah, is called what we call Sfiras Ha'omer. Torah never calls it that, that's our name for it. And the name the Chachomim have given it, as you can see from the fact that they've enshrined it in the Bracha. So they have somehow connected. But basically there are two mitzvahs, there is the Korban Ha'omer and Sfiras Ha'omer. When the Torah wants to tell us that we should bring the Korban Ha'omer, it says the following. Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'amata aleihem ki savoyeh l'ores asher ani noisein lachem tzartim k'tzira ve'veisim es ha'omer reishis k'tzirchem el ha'koyim. So that is the command to bring this ha'omer. It's a certain amount of barley, as it turned out. V'hein ev es ha'omer, that's what the Kohen should do with it. And then the Torah tells us exactly when we should bring this Korban. And the Torah says, fairly cryptically, Mimochras HaShabbos. Now we all know the disputes about with the Chomim and the Tzlukim, etc. But Mimochras HaShabbos means the day after the first day of Pesach. Yeah, that's a Chazal, that's how we Paskin, etc. And that is why, of course, exactly 7 weeks later, we have Shavuos, a day after, and it was exactly 49 plus one, as Rabbi Yonke has just been telling us. So we now know the Taich, the translation of Mimochras HaShabbos, which is the day after the first day of Pesach. So let's move on swiftly to Sfiras Ha'omer. And there the Torah tells us, Sfaratim Lechem Mimochras HaShabbos, we all know the Nusach, some people say it every day. And then the Torah says this, when should you do it? It says that after you've counted that Mimochras HaShabbos, HaShviyas, until the morrow of the Shabbos, which is the 7th, Tisbru Chamishim Yoim, and it says there that Sheva Shabbosos Tmimas Diena V'Yoim Haviyachem Es Oima Hatznufo. So it's giving us the same date twice. I already know what Mochras HaShabbos means from the Korban Oima, from the parasha before. Mochras HaShabbos means the day after the first day of Pesach. It then tells me V'Yoim Haviyachem Es Oima Hatznufo for the day you bring the Oima. So it's telling me exactly the same date twice, which is the 16th of Nisan, of course. So Rav Hirsch asks, why do I need two dates being told to me, the same date being told to me twice? Mochas HaShabbos is the 16th of Nisan, and Miyom HaBiyachim HaSeim HaTzinufa is the 16th of Nisan, and he says something I think is magnificent. Let's just get a little bit topical for a moment, go off the Chumash for a second, and talk about the world in general, you know, in the era of elections and political parties. And, you know, when you think about what political parties...
Not Trump again.
No, we'll stick to England. We'll stick to British politics, good old British politics. And you know, you have the Labour and the Conservative. Well, what are they offering? What are these parties offering? Well, basically, you know, I want to feel safe. I want, you know, the country to have an army. I want to be able to walk in the streets at night and feel safe. You want a police force. If you get ill, you want a hospital. There are certain things that I really want to contribute to my security. So I want the government to supply security. If you ask the man in the street, what do you want of your government? More or less they'll say the same. They'll say, we want security. We want a means also of creating wealth, you know, that jobs and businesses and all that. So in other words, there has to be security and prosperity. That is what the average man in the street wants. The Labour and the Conservative argue about how to get there. One says, well, just fleece the rich, okay, and tax them until they squeak. And the other one says, no, you know, you should distribute everything. So it depends on, or rather create wealth. So it just depends on how you get there. But everyone will agree, what you want basically is, I want security and I want prosperity. Okay, so here's just the following. If you think about the Yom Tov of Pesach, what is it? It's actually a Yom Tov celebrating and acknowledging and remembering our security. The way that Ribbono Shel Olam swept us out of Egypt, terrible Shivud, and we came out and we were free men. So in other words, there was an assurance there, and we were absolutely sure that Ribbono Shel Olam can supply our security. He can protect us. So in other words, the day of Pesach celebrates the fact that Yidden have to understand that they have security. Then the next day, after the first day of Pesach, which is the time we're talking about, which is the day that you bring the Korban Omer. What is the Korban Omer? The Korban Omer was the first crop that was produced by Eretz Yisrael of the Chmishaminim, and that was barley. First crop, so it's a sort of Bikurim. In fact, the Torah calls it the Bikurim Korban. It's not to be confused with the Bikurim that the farmer brings. This is a Bikurim. And so therefore we bring that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for the corn in the field, for all our produce, for all our parnosa. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rai is that we're not allowed to eat Chodosh before that. That Korban allows us to eat Chodosh from that moment onwards. So in other words, when you think about it, says Rav Hirsch, what this 16th of Nisan represents is a commemoration of the fact that we had security, Pesach, and that we have prosperity, the Korban Omer. So you've got those two things. Remember, the man in the street, all he wants is security and prosperity. That's as far as the goyim are concerned. Everybody wants security. And the fact is, if I could promise you all security and prosperity, I'd be prime minister tomorrow. Okay? The fact is that you can't promise these things, and therefore, and we just choose the parties we think are lying least, basically. But otherwise, if you could promise that, that would be it. So Rav Hirsch says, this is the point, all nations want these two things. The man in the street wants security and prosperity, but not for you Yidden. For you Jews, now you start. You've got your security. You've got your prosperity. Now you march towards something else. Something much higher. You march towards Matan Torah. And that's the whole idea. And I think that is a beautiful way of putting that. And of course, Femdom Bakasha. Why the Torah tells us twice. Just moving on with this particular theme. And also Rahirsh for a moment. Before we go to something else. He asks a kasha, which is not his own kasha, it's a Mogil Avraham, which is that if we do the calculations about the numbers, then we know that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim on Thursday, which means that the first day of their Sfira in that year was Friday. That means that for them, in that first year, the end of the week was always Thursday. End of week was Thursday, right? Which means that the 49th day, that we've just been talking about in the Shia before, the 49th day was a Thursday. Agree, everybody? It must be. It was the end of week. Which means that the 50th day was a Friday. Now, this is strange, because the Gemara says that the Torah was given on Shabbos. So, in effect, the day the Torah was given was on the 51st day, not the 50th day. This is a bomba kasha. Everybody knows there are lots of number of mahalchim of how we deal with it. Let me tell you what Rav Hirsch says, which I think is something to do with the title, which is the Hachana for Shavuos and how we need to prepare ourselves. And he says the following, that actually, yes, it's true. Technically speaking, Matan Torah was on the 51st day. It was the Shabbos. But Klal Yisrael was standing around the mountain on the 50th day, and they were accepting the concept of receiving the Torah. And that acceptance, that concept of being ready and waiting to receive the Torah, so to speak, is more important than receiving the actual Torah itself. That was something which was a hashloma, if you like. First you needed their acceptance, and that's what they were doing on the 50th day. So a real Matan Torah, or let me call it Kabbalah HaTorah, was on the 40th, on the 50th day, whereas Matan Torah was on the 51st day. And in that way,
That was the third of 3 days, actually, though.
Yes, indeed. The Mar Shabbos 3 days. But the fact is, the dates don't work out. And that was where we came across, you know, this problem, this question. Now, we always say that in the 49th, 50th, we celebrate it on the 50th day. The day after we finish the 49th count, we have the 50th day, and now we have it. That's our Shavuos. So, in fact, the commitment and the fact that Klal Yisrael are waiting on that 50th day, and they're waiting for the Rabbeinu Shem to give them the Torah, which happens the next day, that is the most important part of the whole of Kabbalah Satayra. And, in fact, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zecher Tzadik Brocha, often quote in these shiurim, he said something, quoting somebody else, another author, he said as a very nice thought, he said, a man for whom life is commonplace. Somebody, you know, runs his life, and the main thing is to watch the box, and, you know, for him, the Torah gets in his way. The Torah is a problem. How shall I fit this in and that in? That sort of person. But for a person where life is a problem, all sorts of, you know, what is creation for? What am I here for? All these big questions. A person for whom life is a problem, the Torah is the solution. And that's the difference. That makes all the difference. If we're fitting the Torah into our lifestyle or fitting our lifestyle into the Torah, makes a lot of difference. Let me move on to a shiur from Rav Matisyo Salomon Shlita, and he mentions in his shiur, by the way, the shiur is called the Kervonu Lifnei HaSinai. The world asks the question, why is Shavuos, that is the 6th of Sivan, called the Day of Matan Torah? We've given one explanation, but I might say there is a problem about that. Because really, on that day, there's very little left of that day. Simply because Moshe broke the Luchos on the 17th Shivos of Tammuz. And therefore, from that Matan Torah, which happened on the 6th of Sivan, leading to Shivos of Tammuz and the Shviras HaLuchos, we don't have very much, you know, left from that. Our Torah, actually, that we have, was the one that was given on Yom Kippur. Yeah, 80 days later, we had Yom Kippur. Moshe Rabbeinu brought the second Luchos stone, and that we received, and that remained whole, and that we had in the Aron HaKodesh. All we have left of the first Luchos, in fact, are the Shivrei Luchos, the bits and pieces of the Luchos, which were actually put in the Aron. So why do we call the Day of Matan Torah? Matan Torah is the 6th of Sivan, when we had very little out of it. And if for a further reference of that, the Michtam Melior of Dessler talks about this very subject in the Chelek Beis, page 29, if anyone would like to look it up. It's about 2 pages discussing this particular subject. And the answer, says Rav Matisyo, is that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam on that day gave us 2 gifts, 2 matonos. And this we need to understand about what mitzvahs represent. Matana number 1 is the ability to perform the mitzvah. That requires certain abilities, certain kavanas, certain learning, can't do it in complete ignorance. So the ability to perform the mitzvah is one of the gifts that Rabbeinu Shlom gave us at Matan Torah. And that gift was given on the 6th of Sivan. The other one was that those mitzvahs have got an effect. I can't say I understand it all, but the Nefesh HaChaim goes to town on it. Lots of chapters about this particular idea that when you do a mitzvah, it affects certain tikkunim in the world, in the cosmos, in the shamayims that are up there. Nefesh HaChaim explains that when we do a mitzvah, there are certain tikkunim. In other words, when the Rosh Hashanah created the world, he left bits to be corrected and to be put together by mankind. That's our job, to correct those little pieces that were undone. That's our job, and the obvious understood how to do that. But the mitzvah is one where they could do a mitzvah and certain things happened that were repaired. We bring the world to its tachlis. So there are 2 parts. The ability to do the mitzvah per se, and the ability for a mitzvah that we do to effect these tikkunim. Now, that is the difference between a mitzvah voicer or ein mitzvah voicer. Ein mitzvah voicer can do a mitzvah. You can do a mitzvah, and the Rabbi Shem will give us the kaifas to do that mitzvah. But only a mitzvah voicer can actually do a mitzvah in such a way that we do these tikkunim, that these things that are meant to happen as an effect, as a result, as a consequence of a mitzvah, only a mitzvah voicer can do that. And that means that we can, with our mitzvahs, actually correct the Bria. And he goes on that at Har Sinai, that we didn't get Kol HaTorah Kulah. That's pretty obvious that we didn't get Kol HaTorah Kulah. Despite the fact that what we learned this morning in Bahar, we always say that Rashi says, Kol Dikdukeil Protoseil, that we got the Torah at Har Sinai. In fact, we didn't get the Torah at Har Sinai on the 6th of Sivan at all, and we were never meant to. Because we couldn't have got the Torah. We got it in terms of the Seres HaDibrais, which contain, according to Chazal, all the Torah. But as far as the Yidden were concerned, as much as they understood, they were waiting 40 days until Moshe came down from the mountain on Shivos Batamas to teach them the Torah that Kodesh Baruch Hu had just taught him over a period of 40 days. So we were never meant to walk away from Har Sinai knowing the Torah backwards and forwards, because we hadn't had any instruction yet. That was going to wait until Shivos Batamas, until Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain after this magnificent instruction that he received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, there was never an intention. So what was meant to happen at Har Sinai if not the Torah, if not those mitzvahs? And the answer is, as we've been talking about, is that those milas that Klal Yisrael had to have to be the Mekablei Torah, those milas, those elevated positions, iturim, the special crowns that they received, that's what we got at Har Sinai. When all of Klal Yisrael was standing around the mountain, we heard the voice of the Ribbono Shel Olam, we had then the facilities, the tools, to be able to be Mekablei Torah. So we came over a long period of time, 49 days, Chazal tell us that we covered an enormous distance. I'm talking spiritually. We covered an enormous distance. We came out of Mitzrayim, and we were on the 49th Shar of Tumah. We were really in the depths. And as you know, Chazal say, had we stayed 5 minutes longer, we would have edged towards the 50th Shar, and we would have been irredeemable. We couldn't have come out of Mitzrayim at all. So Rav Arishim had to take us out, so to speak, in the nick of time, in order that we should be redeemable. But then what happens is quite miraculous. Then what happens is a march upwards, shedding the 49 Shari Tumah and acquiring the 49 Shari Kedusha. And in that time, in a short space of 49 days, 7 weeks, we got to a position where Chazal describe as Klal Yisrael as Ka'odom Horishin Koidim Achet, that we had, in fact, retrieved all the problems of the world that had happened and all the avarice that the world had done, especially Odom Rishon. We were like Odom Rishon Koidem Ached, which is, of course, just not only an incredible madrega, it's a superlative madrega. It is one which is almost unimaginable, that we can go back to the beginning again. And in addition to the fact that we are on this tremendous ruchnistika level, it is a position where Misa has been abolished all over again. It's like Odom Rishon Koidem Ached. Because Koidem Ached, there was no Misa. And therefore, Klal Yisrael were in a position of not having Misa at the time that they stood in front of Har Sinai. And that is a wonderful position to be in. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Atim Tiyuli Mamleches Koinem Agoi Kodosh, you shall be moved out, you shall be separated from other nations. Just want to say a word what it means that we were at Har Sinai on this incredible level of the 49th Shar of Kedusha. In other words, almost perfection. If we were like Odom Rishon Koidem Ached, we were in a perfect state, or as perfect as man can be. So what is the significance of that, given that not long after that we did the Egel, and of course throughout Jewish history, the whole Tanakh is full of it, Klal Yisrael doing Avodah Zorah there, and other various, etc., all over the place. So what is the point, the fact that we were at Har Sinai, at that amazing level, when we messed up very quickly, and never retrieved, never achieved anywhere near that sort of madrega? And the answer, I think, is that I've seen in various places, and I'm sure we've all experienced this, and I say this to my students in SEM, for example, is that, you know, there is a purpose in getting to a madrega or having an experience, even though that experience cannot be repeated, even though you'll never have that experience again. You know, to my SEM girls, I say, you're in SEM at least 2 years, make maximum use of it, and, you know, learn as much as you can, because after that, you'll be busy people after that. You'll be running families. You'll never achieve the madrega, so to speak, the perception that you've achieved here. But
throughout your lives, you'll know, I was there once. We were there once. And therefore, there is something to aspire to. No matter what happens afterwards, we don't have the same opportunities. We were there once. And that is really the history of Klal Yisrael. It's true, we never managed to achieve that madriga in years to come, in years that went by, until the present day. We never will until Mashiach comes. But we all know that we were there once. Once upon a time, we were standing in our seat and we had that madriga, and that was worth having. That was worth having because it meant that Klal Yisrael started off in perfection. And of course, ties in very well with what Rabbi Dessler and others say about why Klal Yisrael had to go to Mitzrayim in the first place, because Avraham Avinu had left a few things over. There were some flaws in his life. He said, Bamo Edah, for example, the Gemara in Adorim. He said, Bamo Edah, or use the people to go out to war to fight the four kings. And therefore, Avraham Avinu left over tiny little cracks in his emunah, if I may put it that way. Rabbi Dessler explains that, for example, are absolutely microscopic. But nevertheless, microscopic flaws are also flaws. And that if there are microscopic imperfections at the beginning of a process, those flaws, those cracks, those imperfections will multiply or magnify over time. It's cumulative. Now, the Jewish people are not a fly-by-night company. Yet we are here to stay. And that means if Klal Yisrael was going to take its position in the world, they had to be perfect at the beginning. And that's, of course, why Rabbi Shem helped us to go up the 49 Shari Kudushay. And we arrived at Har Sinai in a perfect state, absolutely perfect state. And that is the way to start of a nation that is here to stay for the whole of the course, which is from then Har Sinai until Mashiach comes. So coming back to our issue here about Har Sinai and Matan Torah. Matan Torah was, so to speak, our bar mitzvah. That was the bar mitzvah of Klal Yisrael. Because just like a bar mitzvah boy transitions from being an Ein Mitzvah Vayiser, on his bar mitzvah day he becomes a mitzvah Vayiser, so too Klal Yisrael was in that position as well. Until then they were Ein Mitzvah Vayiser, and then at Har Sinai they are become a mitzvah Vayiser, and as we explained before, they can now influence the whole of the Bria. They have something that is an effect to the whole of the world, and we got that legacy. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos after the Egel, and we didn't have those luchos that were meant to be given to Klal Yisrael at the beginning, what we got are those abilities, those toros, those crowns that we received at Har Sinai, that we've got to the present day. And what they say about Shavuos, there is a lot written obviously about Shavuos, but what Chazal tell us about Shavuos, quoting Pesuk in the Torah, that the sound of the shofar didn't stop. So it didn't stop. We all know the shofar was very special in the sense that this shofar got louder and louder as Klal Yisrael were waiting at Har Sinai, which is something a human being cannot do. And V'loi Yosof, it didn't end at all. And the Targum says, V'loi Posak, it didn't stop. In other words, that shofar goes on forever. And what they're trying to explain to us is that we can still have Matan Torah today. We can make a moshul of a sort of a radio set where you've got the right antennae to get the right waves. Apparently what we can do with this hachana, we can get ourselves in a position where we, so to speak, can still hear Matan Torah. That shofar is still sounding. Our ears are blocked, but we can hear the shofar if we prepare ourselves in the right way. And I want to end off with something from Reb Chaim Shmulevitch, who's got a shiur on just this, where he tells us, he identifies three things that we can do in our day and age and in our lives, whether they're lives kuloi Torah or whether we are business people, whether we're in the big wide world. There are some things that we can do. Starting off with the pasuk by Yisu Merafidim and Chazal Darshim Refidim, Rofo Yodayim in a Torah, they became sort of loose. They didn't, you know, adhere to the Torah that well, and therefore they had problems, and therefore we had a visit from Amalek. So they distanced themselves from the Torah, and this caused trouble. So therefore the first thing that we must try and do in a hachona to the Yom Tov, to being Mekabli Torah, remember there are no mitzvahs. You can't learn the Hilchus Shavuos, I'm afraid, you know, we don't have Hilchus Shavuos, there's no mitzvahs ayoyim to do on that day. So all we can do is change ourselves and work on ourselves internally. That is the preparation. You don't prepare a lulav, you don't bind a lulav, yeah, you don't build a sukkah, and there's no mitzvah sayayim. So the mitzvah sayayim must be within ourselves. So the first thing he tells us to do is hisamtsus. We energize ourselves. If you're energetic about Torah, and he certainly was a par excellence example of that, as a man who's, you know, absolutely energized with Torah, his gabras towards Torah, if we can energize our Torah and make our kviyasim more effective, because the indifference, the opposite is indifference, the atzlus, is the antithesis to progress. You can't have progress if somebody is indifferent, you know, to the project. Yeah, the yod, the nine, is not that interested, then that's not going to be a success. You can only have a success, and that's true for every project which is successful, whether it's building a school, a shul, or whatever, in a family, or whatever, it's always that someone is energetic about it, someone provides the energy, and that is the only way that we can be people who are in a position to be a Mekabel Torah. And that's a necessary precondition. It's not just an optional extra, it's a precondition to be Mekabel Torah. We've got to be enthusiastic about it. Coming back to the Pirsh, that's what happened on the 50th day, where we stood there waiting in anticipation and waiting for the Torah to be given. So, we know, for example, Yaakov didn't sleep during all the 14 years that he was at Shem Be'Aver. And so therefore we have examples in the ancient world and in the modern world of people that show this energy, show this enthusiasm for it all. And the second condition, he says, is midas, refinement of midas. I suppose that goes on all the time. And he mentions in particular the midah of kaas. You know, we get angry about things. The world's not going my way, and therefore I get angry about it, because I forget for a moment or two that the Rebbeinu is running the world, and if things don't go my way exactly as I want it, then I get angry about it, because it should go my way, shouldn't it? And of course the other one is gaiva, where I think, you know, I deserve everything I'm getting, I've earned it, I deserve it. And the fact is that we don't necessarily deserve it. Much of what we have, and everything that we have, is really a gift. The Gemara and Dorim says, Kim Shoisa Odom, that it says in the Torah Vayachnu Bemidbar, and then it says Mimidbar Matonon, it's a pasuk in Chukas, Mimidbar Matonon. The Gemara says, you know, one of the Amoraim says that I've looked the whole of the Torah, no place called Matonon. I couldn't find any place called Matonon. The answer is Mimidbar Matonon, which means that if a person makes himself like a Midbar, modest, person's modest and doesn't think he's meets needs and deserves everything he gets, then he gets the Torah as Matonon. It's a special gift. So that's the second condition, we find our midas. And then the third condition, Vayichan Yisrael Neged Ahar, it's a pasuk that we have in the run-up to Matan Torah. And as we all know this quote, Ki'ish Echad, Belev Echad, the Torah was not given to individuals. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael as a whole. It belongs to all of us. And it can only work properly if we are Ba'achtas. Everyone talks about Achtas. I'm not sure we know how to do it to this day. There are so many divisions in Klal Yisrael. Recently, unfortunately, those who have been following the politics in Eretz Yisrael have witnessed unfortunate incidents where people don't seem to be able to talk to each other properly and make hiskemim among themselves, making agreements among themselves of how we should behave. And therefore, we must make, on our individual level, in our own communities, special efforts to live together, ba'achdus. And, of course, that's all part of the process that the Chofetz Chaim says, as you know, about Amelus Batayra, that Heim Amelim, V'Ono Amelim, that they work very hard, and we get schar for our omol, they don't get schar for their omol. And the answer is that the process of receiving Torah is not to achieve things, necessarily, to know shas, or whatever. What you know is very, very nice, and we have a chiyuv to try and learn. The main work involved is the process of learning and acquiring Torah. When we do that, when we actually put these three middos, these three hachonas into the right preparation, we will be zoicha to a kabbalas haTorah, and also the further zchus, hopefully, that we will bring Moshiach tzidkenu b'mehirah b'yameinu.